Well, we've been talking about faith, the word faith, the actions of faith. In the words of the late Pastor Charles Spurgeon, he said, "Faith is the Samsonian lock of the Christian. Cut it off and you may poke out his eyes, for he can do nothing." Wow, so true, eh? Cutting off the presence of a living and vibrant faith is like poking out the Christian's eye and rendering him blind. The presence of faith acts like a blood supply for the Christian's life that enables them to walk forward each day, being spiritually alive and therefore pleasing to God. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6, we recently studied. Well, last week in part four of our Faith on Display sermon in Hebrews 11, I shared that faith is the art of holding on to things your reason has once accepted in spite of your changing moods. Folks, just like we've been studying for over a month now in this chapter, and we've seen so evidently in the lives of those we've been studying about, life has many ups and downs. Times of celebrations, times of mourning, times that are easy, and times that are very hard. God is looking to make us men and women of mighty faith. Faith will not, that will not be shifted or altered or lessened no matter the vast changes around us, no matter the circumstances we are facing, regardless of the moods that we will have to wrestle with. God wants to grow a faith in us that will cling to our Lord Jesus at all times, in all circumstances, and above all emotional moods. For us to learn from these examples, to behold a strong, a steadfast, a persevering faith in our Lord Jesus. You know, the Lord wants there to be a mighty display of faith right now in your life today. Are you ready to express that faith in the Lord Jesus? Folks, for a very good reason, we have been taking our time through Hebrews chapter 11, studying the lives of those who have gone before us, who have displayed mighty faith that pleased God. For if we lack faith, verse 6 has already shared that it's impossible to please God. Do we recognize the opportunity before us right now? Do we see the ways that we are being called to express our faith as a church family? Likewise, do we see the seriousness of becoming a faithless congregation? See, for without faith, we will lack a God-honoring trust in Him. Without a living faith, we will lack hope for today. Without daily faith, we will struggle with having daily purpose. Without faith, we will lack the needed courageous perseverance for the road yet ahead. And yes, a lack of faith will still cause a generation or a church to wander in circles and be resistant to God's plans until they perish or until God makes them step aside for a future generation to rise up, a generation that will trust that God has faithful plans and He's looking for us to respond to Him today. Faithlessness will indeed lead to a poking out of spiritual eyes. It makes us weak and blind, just like Samson became. Remember, he was a strong force to be reckoned with. He couldn't be taken out when he was walking out his vows to God. But when he took his eyes off the prize, when he spurned his vows, then he became an easy target. Folks, forge ahead in mighty faith, for you were designed to be strong in the Lord. You know, there's so much hope speaking forth to the churches and to the nations right now. Now, you might say, really? Well, have you not been listening to the news? Do you not understand the political drama that we are engulfed in? You know, regardless of your political views, regardless of all the wrong directions of the world, regardless of all the ungodly changes in our society, there is still a mighty hope because God is alive. Remember that even after such a low moment of faithlessness and rebellion for Samson, Remember that it's never too late to rise up now today and to display a fresh faith. Samson, after losing all his strength, he turned his spiritual eyes back to the Lord. He displayed once again fresh faith when it seemed hopeless. And he too has his name in Hebrews chapter 11 as a faith example for us to heed. See, today is the opportunity as believers to align with God and to follow in heeding his course for what lies ahead. Will you do it with a mighty faith? Let's look now at faith on display, part 5. I'm going to ask my daughter Mackenzie to come read for us our next portion of scripture.
By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned, they were sawed in two, they were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect.
Awesome, thanks. Oxford Dictionary defines faith as complete trust or confidence in someone or something. Now, here's a longer quote from one resource I came across. The closest that the Bible comes to offering an exact definition of faith is Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. From this particular passage, we see that the central feature of faith is confidence or trust, and the Bible, the object of faith, is God and His promises. A clear example of this is Abraham's encounter with God in Genesis 15. In response to God's promise of countless descendants, Abraham believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. Faith means putting your trust in God and having confidence that he will fulfill his promises. Faith is more than intellectual agreement. To use an illustration, imagine you are at Niagara Falls watching a tightrope walker push a wheelbarrow across the high rope above the falls. After watching him go back and forth several times, he asks for a volunteer to sit in the wheelbarrow as he pushes it across the falls. At an intellectual level, you may believe that he could successfully push you across the rope over the falls, but you are not exercising biblical faith until you get into the wheelbarrow and entrust yourself to the tightrope walker. Genuine biblical faith expresses itself in everyday life. And just as James writes, faith by itself, apart from works, is dead. End of quote. Interesting. Furthermore, on the topic of our works in regards to salvation, Galatians chapter 5, verse 6b reads that the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Or put in the words of a commentary, the obedience that pleases God comes from faith rather than a mere sense of duty or obligation. This is also clearly taught in Romans chapter 1, verse 5, and in chapter 16, verse 26. See, there is all the difference in the world between the husband who buys his wife flowers out of delight and the one who buys them out of duty. Folks, let's be a people who serve the Lord in deeds out of love for Him, not overcome with pressures or guilt to do it, or an emotionless duty. A religious person may see the responsibility to serve the Lord. They may see the responsibility to step out in faith. But the one in love with Jesus sees the opportunity. They relish the chance to be a part of God's purposes and God's plans. Furthermore, I came across this quote: faith is so important because it is the means by which we have relationship with God. For by grace you have been saved through faith, Ephesians 2:8. Faith is how we receive the benefits of what Jesus has done for us. Still quoting now, He lived a life of perfect obedience to God. He died to pay the penalty for our sin rebellion against God. And He rose from the dead to defeat sin, death, and the devil. By putting our faith in Him, we receive forgiveness for our sins and the gift of eternal life. So what does faith mean at the core of it? Simply put, faith means relying completely on who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for me to be made right with God. End of quote. Here's our main point today. Often we have one, two, three is pretty typical. It's one point. Many more faith examples are provided for us to learn from. But how do we get a pure faith from an impure woman? Folks, the name Rahab in this chapter is a name that has caused many people to do a double take. It has caused people to be confused of how and why a prostitute is an example of faith to us. And obviously, it shouldn't even have to be said that Rahab's sinfulness was not pleasing to the Lord. But it also should be said that this lady had come to a real faith in the Lord that is a powerful example to us. Her name is rightfully included in this chapter about mighty men and mighty women who displayed God-pleasing faith. So let me review with you Rahab's testimony this morning. Let me paint for you the scene which led to a marvelous example of faith. Now, if you remember in the book of Joshua, we learn about Rahab's expression of faith in turning against the gods of Canaan, and she then identified herself with Yahweh and the people of Israel. She came to put her trust in the one true God of the Holy Bible. Now, this was certainly not an expected outcome from a harlot. Folks, Charles Spurgeon once quoted a saying about Rahab. She was indeed a harlot, a woman that was a sinner, universally known to be such. Desperate attempts have been made to find some other meaning for the word rendered harlot, but they have been utterly fruitless. Folks, the Greek word harlot that we read here is the word porne. It is typically translated as whore. Let's not beat around the bush this morning in painting the scene of her sinfulness. Now, Spurgeon, who offered no excuses in accurately depicting Rahab's position in society, he also noted, shockingly, he noted that her faith was a saving faith, a singular faith, a stable faith, a self-denying faith, a sympathizing faith, and a sanctifying faith. Now, we are going to basically spend the remainder of our time this morning unpacking this radically unexpected example for us. You know, if this most radical example about the faith of a harlot, if this doesn't move us in understanding the desire that God has upon us to rise up and display such faith, then I'm afraid that we will miss the entire point of Hebrews chapter 11. We could do 10 more sermons in this chapter, and we will miss the whole point if we do not understand Rahab's faith testimony. Sadly, we could then become terribly misled and could come to rely on our own morality as the means for pleasing God. Folks, let's cut to the chase. Let's immediately point out that none of us will please God by becoming worthy to be accepted by Him. There are no such works that you and I can do that at the end of the day we can put our head on our pillow and go, I definitely deserve God's grace. I definitely deserve to be saved by Him, and I have become worthy of relationship with Him. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of any such claim. The most moral person on the planet still remains, we sang about it this morning, a wretched sinner apart from God's amazing grace. Now, where do we start this morning? Well, let me remind you that we ended off last week in verse 30, which was about Joshua, and now verse 31 talks about Rahab. So the start of her testimony with this new generation that was ready to move past the stagnant and the fearful and the faithlessness of their parents' generation. They were now, the Israelites were ready to walk by faith. This is where the book of Joshua begins. Interesting to note that though that God's people did not please God as they wandered in faithlessness. Remember, they wandered for 40 years in rebellion to God. They would not enter the promised land. Yet, soon a harlot would come to display the kind of faith that God had been looking for among His own people for four decades. Wow. I'd also like to point out before we go any farther that there are two women mentioned in Hebrews 11 where we see this mighty display of faith. It's Abraham's wife Sarah, whom we've already studied about. She trusted that God would be faithful to give her a son, even though she was barren and even though she was old. And that did happen, and this is the physical line that Jesus came from. And now we read the name Rahab. Let me also share with you how Sarah and Rahab, two radically different ladies in their upbringing and their experiences, let me share with you how they are closely associated. See, the Bible associates Rahab with Abraham. And this morning we will learn why if you don't know already. If you were to turn with me to Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, we read a record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And now in verse 5, we read this. Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. See, Rahab is part of the line of Jesus' great, 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 down the list, grandmothers. In the genealogy of Jesus Christ, there are only four women ever mentioned among the long completed genealogy of names that are noted one after the other. Now, Rahab is one of those special names. The other three women mentioned may surprise you as well. We don't have time to study each of these names right now, but I do want to mention them because it's kind of surprising. It's also very telling of God's magnificent grace. You ready for those names? Here's the four names listed. Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, Bathsheba. See, the inclusion of these women in Jesus' genealogy is a special and powerful display of God's matchless grace. They were also all born outside of the covenant, and yet they were included in God's salvation promise to Abraham. You know, what a mighty, faithful God we serve, just as His mighty grace is clearly displayed in these names. And as He faithfully fulfilled His promises in the past, He will faithfully fulfill His eternal promises yet to come. And so, in this Hebrews 11 faith chapter, the two ladies of faith we read about are in the direct line of the Messiah. Now, here's another reason that the unexpected name of Rahab is such a faith example to us. Because it clearly shows God's faithfulness. You know, the two spies in Joshua chapter 2 who were sent to scope out the land of giants, they could have gone back thinking that they failed in this preliminary mission. After all, they had barely made it out alive. But folks, that mission was a perfect success only because of God's faithfulness. Again, hundreds of years later, the Messiah would come from the line of Rahab, and we see the richness of God's faithfulness and perfect sovereignty way after the fact. See, we get to Matthew chapter 1, and we learn about the coming of the Messiah. He's actually arrived, just as God promised he would, all the way back to Genesis 3:15 and the promise of a seed. So we look back and we go, whoa, wait a minute here. The name Rahab, and we go back up, back up, back up, back up, back up. We go, oh, the two spies, the mission they went to. God's faithfulness, his perfect planning, his perfect sovereignty. Several weeks ago, our host reminded us of Romans 8:28, how God always works for the good of those who love him. Now, this doesn't mean we won't face bad news. This does not mean we will be spared from sinful drama. It does not mean that we will be free from challenges. It doesn't mean those opposition will be stifled. But it does mean that God can and does take bad situations and he turns them into things that are good in our lives. For that is the power of God. God is bigger than all the sin. We certainly see that in Rahab's life. God is bigger than all the bad news. His faithfulness is always present in the believer's life. But yeah, it doesn't feel like that though, does it? Sometimes there can also be long delays before we recognize God's master planning, and we can struggle. And we go, God, I know that you are sovereign. I know that you are mighty. I know that you can use this for good, and I'm going to trust you. But right now, things are really hard. Right now, I just don't see how these pieces of this messed up puzzle, I don't see how it makes sense, God. It just seems like this shouldn't be here. I don't get it. Well, that's okay. God's big enough for you to pray those prayers. And I encourage you that as you pray those things and you wrestle those things out, to still put your faith in God and go, God, regardless of how I don't understand, and I put my faith in you, Lord. I know that you are who you say you are. So again, we see the name Rahab in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. And yet way back when these spies met her, no one saw that coming. You know, seeds of God's goodness often take much time to come to fruition, especially when we are in hard times. But you can count on God's faithfulness. See, whenever we trust God, when we walk by faith, when we claim his promises, it will be a success, even if it looks like a failure from man's perspective. One day when we come face to face with the Lord, we will learn how all those faith seeds we stepped forth in, we will learn how they were used. We will see how all the pieces of that puzzle came together to bring glory to God. Wherever faith in God is being lived out, it will bring glory to God, regardless of how we perceive the results right now. As God's people display their faith in him, it always pleases God. As a bonus, there are times we may not ever see the results here on earth, but God will use it, and he will continue with his faithful planning for it to build his kingdom. Now, when the Hebrew spies came to Rahab, listen to Rahab's response. She declared, He is God in heaven above and on the earth beneath. That's Joshua 2, verse 11. One commentary notes, this was proof of her faith. It was not strong faith, and it was not perfect faith, but her faith was commendable nonetheless. And folks, Rahab's faith story gets much stronger and bolder, as we will learn. See, powerfully noted, Rahab truly believed that the God of Israel was the true God above all. Then, as a faith response to these mental and theological convictions, she displayed her faith by opposing the plans of those looking to harm God's people. So she hid the spies from harm, and she even risked her own life to do it. She risked her own life to do it. Interesting how we just learned last week about how Moses did the same thing. He aligned himself with God's people, and he even put his own life on the line to do it. See, Moses chose to align himself with God. He chose to stand up for God's people, even though it cost him big time. It personally harmed his fellowship with the family that raised him, Pharaoh's own daughter. That family now saw Moses as their enemy, all because why? Because he did the right thing. He stood up for God's agenda. Rahab also put her life on the line for God's people, and she helped safeguard these spies who would have been killed. They also would have sought to kill Rahab for befriending them. Folks, you can't align with both the world and with God. You can't be friends with opposing forces, just like Rahab couldn't play both sides. We will not come to honor God and walk in faith if we desire to be exalted and be a friend of the world. Now, there is a time to align with what is the right thing to do. And Rahab, as well as Moses, they both did that at their own personal cost. They stepped out in faith. They showed that God's path meant more to them than even their own safety. Now, I can't stress enough that Rahab's name being mentioned here in Hebrews 11 has nothing to do with Rahab's own righteousness. She didn't have any of her own righteousness, and folks, neither do you and I. This is all about her faith in the righteous one. Faith in the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the one true God who gave us his only begotten Son to become our righteousness. A gift, just as he promised to Abraham. Spoken all the way back to Genesis 3 about a saving seed. But yes, this faith in the righteous one moved her into action. It moved her into steps of faith. And these same convictions should be evident in our lives. We don't have any righteousness of our own. But as we come to know the righteous one, as we come to receive God's gift to us in providing his only begotten Son as our righteousness, we are now called to respond in actions of faith. This is not about intellectual understanding. Now just go live your life. Folks, while it's true that we don't have any righteousness to claim on our own merit, it's also true that if our confessions of faith do not impact our lives into displays of faith or action steps, then we need to properly redefine faith. We need to properly assess the presence of biblical faith. See, in James chapter 2, starting at verse 17, we read this. In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. See, salvation is solely based on Jesus' righteousness on the cross. Case closed. It's never to be reopened. It's not something we bargain about. It's 100% his righteousness imputed to me through faith. Not 99.9, 100%. It's all because of Jesus. The entire book of Galatians could not make it more clear that our works do not, will not, could never, ever earn our salvation. Now, we do learn here, however, that if no displays of faith are found in our lives, then our claimed confession about being God's friend, about having found righteousness in Jesus, well, something doesn't look kosher. Our faith is to be greater than the faith of demons who believe and they even shudder. Our faith is to make a difference in how we live, in what we do, the daily action steps of displaying our belief in ways that credit and exalt our Lord Jesus. So let's look more specifically at Rahab's confession in Joshua chapter 2. In verse 8 we read, I know that the Lord has given you this land. Now, notice the confidence. She doesn't say, as they show up, well, rumor has it, I think that God has provided this land for you. She states God's covenant with Israel. She states it as a plain fact. You know that land that is so often in the news? There's so much talk currently about the land from the river to the sea, people claiming that it belongs to them. Well, Rahab understood this truth way in advance. The Bible speaks that it's God's land. He gave it on covenant to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Actually, Rahab is so confident about her faith in Israel's God that she boldly asks for their commitment to spare her and to spare her family's lives. So Rahab immediately, oh, you're an Israelite. Your God is the God in heaven and on the earth. Oh, I've heard about the covenant. This is the land that God has given you. This is God's next steps for the Israelites. And here's Rahab now, so confident of her faith in Israel's God that she makes a bargaining with them and says, I want to be spared. I want my family to be spared when God's promise comes to pass and you come into this land. See, she knew that God had made a promise to Abraham. She knew that God was going to send his people forth into that promised land. And Rahab, in faith, was wanting to join in these promises of God. See, like Rahab, we are called to trust upon God's plans, to trust upon God's promises, way in advance, to step out in faith, to act upon God's plans and purposes right now today, to walk in faith like it has already happened. See, when we read through the Word and we see the character of God and the promises of God and the plans of God, folks, we're going to go, well, I think this is going to happen. I think this is what God's plan is. I don't know. Rumor has it. We read through and we go, this is what God says. And a lot of this, we can look back and go, yep, he did just as he said he would. And there's parts in there that are forward-looking they're like, well, this hasn't happened yet, but I know that God, whenever he says he's going to do something, he does it. And what he says his plans are, he's going to do it. And Rahab is with this attitude to go, I know what's happening next. I know all about this. So I'm planning that right now as though it just has already happened. So when you, not if, when you come into the land, I want to be spared. Powerful, powerful points. Rahab's confession was theologically true, but it didn't stop there. She now, with action steps, she hid those spies and she gave them helpful directions as we see faith and works in unity. Now, then in verse 14 of Joshua 2, we see the spies speak back to Rahab, and these spies speak their own faith with firm belief and expectations. They say this, when the Lord, again, that's my whole point a moment ago. What's the key word? When? Folks, I want to stress this again. Whenever we read about God's promises in the Bible, when we learn about his plans, we learn about his ways, it's never if, it's always when. That's why it's so vital that when we read God's word, that we claim the promises he has for his people, because it will completely change the way we think, the way we plan, even how we will speak with confidence and firm daily application. These spies speak back to Abraham, when the Lord, and yet it hadn't happened yet. But it was as if it already did. That is what their faith was expressing. You know, let's also consider Rahab's salvation as we look at her wonderful faith testimony to us. In verses 17 to 19 of Joshua 2, we read this. The men said to her, this oath you made us swear will not be binding on us unless, when we enter the land, you have tied this scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, and unless you have brought your father and mother, your brothers, and all your family into your house. If anyone goes outside your house, into the street, his blood will be on his own head. We will not be responsible. So think about this. A red cord was going to be the signal to the army of Israel that the people in that home were to be spared. And notice that the spies make it very, very, very clear. If that red cord is not in your window, when we come, you will die. Your blood will be on your own head if that cord is not in the window. You know, as early as the first century, commentators understood that this scarlet cord was a symbol of the blood of Jesus Christ. Clement of Rome, the earliest Christian writer outside of the Bible itself, was the first to see a symbol of the blood of Jesus in the scarlet cord that Rahab set outside her window. Now let's think about this for a moment. A red marker on her home. Where else have we seen this? Well, Passover. The purpose of the red mark of a lamb's blood during the plagues in Egypt. Well, that too was also to save life. This is exactly the purpose here as well. Rahab shared that she had heard all about their miraculous salvation that God had given the Israelites back in Egypt. And so she is basically saying, hey, include me. I believe upon your God. I believe upon the one true God. I want to join you, and I will display a red mark in my home. See, folks, the scriptures make it clear, such as Acts 4:12, salvation is found in no one else. For there is no name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 and 6, makes it very clear. For there was one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in its proper time. Or how about John chapter 6, verse 53 and 54? I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last day. Do you have a scarlet robe? Meaning, do you have the blood of Jesus upon your life? Are we putting that rope outside our windows for people to see? Folks, let's step out this week into the world and share about our faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ as a gift, God's loving gift to all mankind, available for us to put our faith in the blood of Jesus for our righteousness, because we had none of our own. As we consider the example of Rahab, an impure woman who became an example of pure faith, there is a mighty call in Rahab's testimony of faith for us to celebrate the grace of God. See, if we get through this chapter, and this is our fifth message in this chapter, and we don't see crystal clear the grace of God and the blood of Jesus shed for us, we have terribly misunderstood the chapter. Rahab, who had no moral basis for salvation, it's clear as day, folks, she was a harlot. No moral basis for salvation. Well, Rahab and her family, they became saved. See, the awesomeness of the grace of Jesus is that everyone, regardless of their past sins and mistakes, regardless of their complete lack of holiness, they are invited through faith in Jesus to be made new, to become a recipient of God's grace. Rahab gathered together her family who she had shared the message with. You can imagine her, the spies are gone now. Her life has been spared. She's planning now as she's putting her faith in this scarlet cord and the judgment that's coming. You can imagine her going to her family and says, I need to tell you something. These spies came, they're from messengers from the one true God, the God of Israel. This is what's going to happen. I don't know the exact day, but it's going to happen, and you need to come into my house. You need to trust that this red marker outside our door, it's going to save our lives. And if you don't listen to me and you go onto that street, you will surely die. You can imagine now Rahab sharing her faith. She became saved, and so did her family. Their faith in action was displaying, I believe upon God, who is my saving grace. Folks, you want to know why it's important for us to be displaying faith as a congregation? Have you asked yourself that question yet over the last over a month? Well, why is it important? We've been pastors up there all the time talking about, sure, taking his time through Hebrews 11. Always talking about faith every week, just slowing it down, talking about faith. Why? Why is it important for us to be displaying our faith as a congregation? You want to know why it's so precious to step out and believe upon the Lord's plans, to believe upon the Lord's promises for us. You want to know why it's imperative that we serve the Lord, that we get involved here, that we become a strong spiritual family. Because at the foundation of it all It's about the glory of Jesus Christ, our Messiah. It is about the gospel that he has spoken forth to the world that we live in. It's about the one who gave up his very life for us so that our blood would not be required for just payment. See, such faith displays in your life are to be about the Christ. They are to be about the one who is calling you forth into action steps of faith, because the gospel is to go forth now as Jesus builds his church right now today. That's why it's important that we are found as a congregation expressing our faith. As we come to a close this morning, let me remind you that Rahab refused to let her past failures, her sins, her mistakes, she refused to allow them to stop her from expressing actionable faith today. See, don't let the devil speak the lies of worthlessness and uselessness into your life. Very powerful, because he's gained much success in people's lives that way in the past. Hey, you can't be used to step on a faith. Look at you. How dare you think that you can be used to serve the Lord, because I know all that you've done. The devil speaks his lies into our lives, and we are to say no. God's word says, for example, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. He will forgive us our sins. He will purify us from all unrighteousness. See, God was so pleased that Rahab didn't let her past define her. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Isn't that fabulous? Don't let your mental, theological convictions be a substitute for faith either. Well, I believe all these things. Great. Fabulous. Are those beliefs now a teammate of your actions? Are you walking out your faith now? Because remember, in the book of James, even demons have the right theology. And we are to study, ensure ourselves approved, correctly handling the word of God. But it's not to stop in our heads. It is to move into our feet, into our hands. Don't let your past mistakes, don't let the sinful behaviors of yesterday stop you from stepping forward now today in a fresh faith that includes the evidence of deeds. See, how's this for a shocker moment? Rahab's actions of faith provided a powerful witness to the spies. How's that for an unexpected twist? No one could have ever seen that coming. A female prostitute is the one speaking forth about bold faith and confidence in God's powers and God's abilities and God's desire to save people, and she is speaking it into the lives of two military men from Israel. You know, Rahab had a greater faith than those who had walked through the Red Sea, who had been miraculously cared for in the desert, only to perish in the wilderness due to their fears and rebellion, their refusals to display any actions of faith. Rahab had a greater faith than they. They essentially lacked an act of trust in God. That generation in the wilderness was found faithless. Do we get it this morning? That generation was found faithless while a whore honored God. Folks, if we don't hear the call for a fresh faith that results in actionable service, that results in worship of our Lord, then I'm afraid that we have already had our eyes poked out by the enemy. An entire generation of religious people perished in faithlessness. But how awesome that we are reminded this morning that God is still at work. God is busy raising up those who are willing to put their faith into action. We see a display of mighty faith birthed from the most unexpected source. God was looking for people. He had waited 40 years for them to show the kind of faith that Rahab showed to him. She believed upon God. She hid those spies. She counted upon that scarlet rope, symbolic of the blood of Christ. She counted upon it for her very life, and she told her family about it and said, "Come, I want you too to be saved. You're invited to put your faith in the one true God." You know, folks, God is still looking for people to put their trust in Him, to display actions of faith for His glory. Let's put our complete trust, our confidence in the Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we exalt you this morning. We honor you. We proclaim once again that we have no righteousness of our own. Lord, we proclaim that the most moral person, the most deeply religious person in this planet is still in complete, desperate need of a righteousness greater than they have, which they can never earn. Father God, the one true God of the Holy Bible, we exalt you that you love us so much that you provide your only begotten Son, the Messiah of the world, the promised one, the one you promised to Abraham, that he shed his perfect, innocent, sinless blood, and that you invite me and my family and those that I meet to put my faith in you and to be saved. Lord, we count upon the blood of Jesus and our salvation right now, today, and for all eternity yet to come. For we know that you are faithful. In Jesus' name, amen.